time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us on this edition of Abounding Grace on this Tuesday morning. And today we're going to continue in our study of John chapter 8 that we began yesterday. And there in John chapter 8, Jesus begins in this dialogue with those around him. And he says something that we really pressed yesterday that is one of the most sobering passages in the Bible. This is John 8 verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now, what he was saying essentially was they will continue to go on looking for their Messiah. He was speaking to the Jews here. They will go on looking for their Messiah, as they do to this day, but they will not find him. They will continue to look, and they will continue to look. But the terrible reality is, in this scene, is that the one that was prophesied from all the law and the prophets, right out of Genesis 2, that he would come, the one who would crush the head of the serpent, the Messiah, had come. He was standing right in front of them. To lay down his life, he had come to satisfy the wrath of God for sinners, and he would go back up, and he would take up his throne in heaven. And just the awful reality here is that his own people would continue to look and to look for their Messiah, but they would not find him. It would be a continual searching for the wind. He says, you will die in your sins. Can you imagine hearing that? My friends, these words were horrid. They were the most sobering and soul-terrifying words that Jesus could have spoken to a people that were continuing to search for their deliverer but had rejected his appearing. And he says that they would die in their sins. We can so easily pass by a statement like this by our Lord, but what he was saying was something like this: your whole lives you've rejected me. You have not come to this stone and fallen upon him, but instead, because of your unbelief, I will crush you. You will die in your sins. You will continue to go on searching, and on the day your death comes, that day will come. A life of searching for me, but on your very deathbeds, when that day comes, you will lie down your heads, and there will be no comfort, no consolation. But because you have not believed in me, the wrath of God will be poured out upon you. That's what this means. And once you take the last breath, you will go forever into dark despair, into the place that Jesus said of burning fire that is never quenched. Oh, the weight of that, my friends. It's hard even to speak of these things because we don't understand the full gravity of this. Jesus is saying in John 8, the one to these people, the one whom you rejected, the only Messiah that you are seeking for, will not be there to comfort you. And as you die, you will go forth into eternal condemnation. Notice what he says: where I go, you cannot come. If he's saying here, if you reject me, if you reject Jesus Christ, it's an impossibility to go where I'm going. To reject me is to reject the Father, and you will have no access to heaven. The kingdom will be closed to you because of your unbelief. And that is the truth today. To those who reject him, their eternal fixed abode is prophesied here. Now again, is there anything more sobering than this? This single statement points to a horror, as one pastor said, that is all the more terrible for being left unexplained. I mean, I'm going into detail with you what this means, but think of hearing the blanket statement by Jesus: you will die in your sins. To die in one's sins is to die unatoned for, uncovered, naked, shamed, with no satisfaction in the worst reality possible, isn't it? This is why Paul said, my friends, the apostle, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. You see, why I, even on this radio broadcast, must stand up and call people to belief and faith in Christ. This is not just a happy clappy time. This is not a time for just a casual, laissez-faire approach to Christianity. Drowsy, weary people who are not taking Jesus seriously will be caught totally off guard. Do you see why the call must be strong? See, we tend to make excuses for loved ones who've defected with our young people, our friends, and our relatives who are living as unbelievers and know better. We tend to justify their patterns of unbelief because of the externals of the Christian faith. They have their baptism. As the Jews said, we have our circumcision. But these have never been pressed to conversion, to believe in Jesus. And so the weight of such things is serious. Many who say, "Lord, Lord," on that day will die in their sins. No comfort, only blackness and darkness forever and ever. Now that's the darkest reality presented to us in the Bible. Doesn't the gospel then become sweet? Sweet isn't even the word. Doesn't the gospel become the most wonderful news ever given to weary, wandering sinners? It's everything to me as a Christian, because from this point, Jesus is going to explain that there's only one way to avoid this fate. Now, the really sad part of this passage, as you will notice, it's as if these strong words of condemnation go right past them. It's as if those words didn't even apply to them. They selectively heard what only they wanted to hear. What a dangerous thing, isn't it? To be presumptive because of the fact that I'm a Jew or I'm a son of Abraham or today I've been raised in a Christian home or et cetera, et cetera. Look at what happens. Verse 22. So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself? Because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come.'" Here they begin to mock him. They totally disregard his judgments and say, he's not going to kill himself, is he? And you really do gather a sense of what they're saying. Is he going to go commit suicide and go to the place where we will never go? As if we will never go to where you are going, Jesus. And at this point, I want you to see what Jesus does. While he's going to provide the only way of escape to avoid this fate, he also is going to set it up to show them the consequences of just whom they are rejecting. Rejecting Jesus, of course, is no light matter. People think they're just rejecting some regular person, but this is Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who is true God and true man. People don't recognize whom they are scorning. And so Jesus brings this out in verse 23. He said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Now, Jesus says, look, you are from beneath. You are of this world. You are from this fallen realm, this fallen order, and you belong to it. You remember that in the very next chapter, he will say, "You are of your father, the devil, and do his will." What a statement. The reason that people refuse to believe in Jesus and the reason that they continue in their sin is because they cannot do anything differently. We must remember this. Those who blatantly choose to reject the ways of the Lord and not listen to him and continue to harden their hearts against him as simply they're simply doing what is quite natural to them. And so Jesus is exposing here that the gulf of heaven and hell, that is final separation of man, the final separation of man from a holy God, that is not the only gulf. The only gulf is not heaven and hell. There's a gulf here and now that first must be overcome. There's a gulf that has estranged the human race from God, so that where Jesus is going, no man in his own power can come. Why? Because Jesus says that by nature, and here we see it in the Jews, we are of this world. We belong as children of wrath to this fallen realm. And so this is why then, for example, when young people give themselves to the ways of this world and involve themselves in immorality and sexual indulgence and alcohol abuse and all these sort of things, this is not just some harmless stage they're going through tampering with little things. These are the very things that Jesus says belong to this realm and that people will die in their sins for and be eternally condemned for. And so Jesus provides a stark contrast here. I'm from above. I'm not of this world. And so because of this present gulf that separates God and man, two different orders, that which is carnal and earthly and that which is heavenly and otherworldly, there then must be a link by which this gulf can be bridged. And so verse 24 becomes Jesus' call to faith in him. He says, therefore, since this gulf is present right now, you will die in your sins. For if, now get this, my friends, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now here's the only way to avoid the fate of dying in your sins. Jesus says, if you believe. What a crucial statement. We're going to look at more at what this means tomorrow, what it means to believe that I am he, he says. But what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, my friends, it means to throw down all of your efforts to save yourself. It means to deny yourself and rest and lean in Jesus Christ in true faith. It means to repent and turn from your wayward ways and all of your sins that you are pursuing, trying to be your own God, control your own life, and recognize that we are all miserable, blind, cold, and naked. Just look at the world. Look at the news. That story tells you every day. The news gets worse and worse. Jesus says, if you see yourself as a broken sinner, repent, turn from your sin, and flee to me, and you will find life. That's his promise today. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You must believe in Jesus, resting in him in true faith as the only way, truth, and life. Have you fled to Jesus for refuge? We promise to bring that refuge to you every week at the Linden United Reformed Church. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thank you for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.